Chaz Holder with Holder & Associates, accounting firm here in town with me. Good morning, Chaz.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show today.
And we're in a busy time of year for you, just about a month away from the deadline.
That's exactly right. Right in the heart of tax season right now, so certainly busy, no doubt. But we say if we weren't busy, we'd probably be worried.
Yeah, that'd be a problem if you weren't busy this time of year.
Exactly.
So what are you seeing this year? Maybe some tips for those of us maybe procrastinating a little bit and haven't filed yet.
Yeah, well, we just passed the corporate partnership filing deadline. That was March 15th. So if you're a taxpayer with one of those types of returns, hopefully you were able to file by then or at least get an extension for the return. Another thing we've noticed this year, something that comes up most years really, is the delay in the IRS releasing various forms. So some filers have had to wait to get their returns done. And this isn't all on the IRS. In fact, much of the blame can actually be placed on Congress, as our federal government has a knack for passing tax legislation at the last minute or even a little bit after the last minute, some of this having a retroactive application. And we saw this with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and also legislation that was passed in February of 18 that had an effect on the 2017 tax year. So probably no surprise for most of us that this happens.
So do any of those laws, are they having an effect for us as we file for 2017?
So for most taxpayers, no. There are a few items that were extended through the 2017 tax year with this new legislation, like deduction for PMI, private mortgage insurance, for example. But in any event, cash basis taxpayers, it's a little too late to do things that have an impact on our 2017 tax year. But there are still a few things we can do. For example, an IRA and a Roth IRA contribution can be made up until the normal filing deadline, April 17th this year, and still apply for the 2017 tax year. Now, the Roth IRA won't change a taxpayer's taxable income, but the traditional IRA deduction can certainly lower that.
And are they, for the IRA deduction, are there limits to that?
Yes, so limits. There are limits on how much you can contribute to an IRA. Generally, it's limited to your earned income or $5,500 or $6,500 if you're age 50 or older. So if you don't have any earned income, you can't make this IRA contribution, although you can essentially borrow that earned income from your spouse if your spouse has earned income. Mm-hmm. There's another IRA limit, and it's a limit that applies. It's really an income limit. One income limit is when you participate in an employer's plan at work. It's the reason why we have that little box on the W-2 that says retirement plan. Mm-hmm. And so if your modified adjusted gross income exceeds $119,000 as married filing joint or $72,000 as a single filer, then you can't make an IRA contribution. So this is problematic for a number of tax filers who might want to otherwise make that contribution to a retirement account.
So if we're making too much money, it's possible we might not be able to contribute to the IRA. Is any way we can work around that?
So there is a possibility that you can still contribute to a Roth, even if your income prohibits you from contributing to a traditional IRA. But Roth IRAs, they have limitations as well, albeit a little bit higher than the IRA limit when you participate in an employer's plan. So the option that is available to most taxpayers is what's called the backdoor Roth. So you might have heard of this, but the backdoor Roth works by making a contribution to a traditional IRA that is non-deductible, meaning you aren't allowed to take a deduction on the tax return for that contribution. So you make this non-deductible contribution to an IRA. This increases your cost basis inside that IRA. And then after you make this IRA contribution, you immediately convert that IRA into a Roth. And because you had basis in the non-deductible IRA contribution, the Roth IRA conversion is non-taxable. Okay, so at the end of the day, it is the same outcome as having made the standard Roth contribution the old-fashioned way, but it's a work around those income limitations.
So it almost sounds like a loophole too good to be true a little bit.
Yeah, so I suppose we could call it a loophole, uh-huh. Though it's pretty widely known in Congress. They know about this. Uh-huh. They just haven't established legislation to prevent this. Now, there are a few pitfalls I'd warn you all about, and that is the technical rule is that the conversion from the non-deductible IRA to the Roth it needs to be proportionate among all of the taxpayer's IRA's bases. Mm-hmm. So the translation to this, it really only works if The taxpayer doesn't have any pre-existing IRAs. Otherwise, the conversion to the Roth is partially taxable. And another caution is to do this conversion quickly because the growth of the funds inside that IRA are taxable until they're converted, mm-hmm. possibly subject to penalties. So, for example, if I put $5,000 into my traditional IRA, non-deductible, it grows to $6,000, and then I convert that $6,000 amount into a Roth, I pay tax and penalties on that $1,000 of growth.
And so which do you like better, traditional or Roth?
So that's a question I get pretty often, actually, and I have a personal preference for the Roth, really for two reasons. One is that it forces us to put more into savings today by using after-tax money instead of pre-tax money, and it removes the uncertainty of future tax rates, something we just don't know. Roth distributions, for those who don't know, they're generally not subject to tax. Traditional IRA distributions are. So if you, let's just compare two taxpayers, for example. One makes an IRA contribution and gets a larger federal tax refund that year. The other makes a Roth contribution and receives the same tax refund because there's no deduction. Mm-hmm. Now, these same $5,500 contributions each grow at the same rate over the same period of time. And then when the taxpayer withdraws from these accounts, well, the IRA is taxed as ordinary income, and the Roth receives no tax at all. So a huge difference on the back end. The only difference with that example is the taxpayer who made the traditional IRA got a bigger refund than the taxpayer who made the Roth. And what do we do most of the time with our refunds, Jim?
Well, we go out and spend it.
Exactly. So it forces you to save more now, and you can see on the back end you get a big benefit. Mm-hmm. So just my general thoughts, but you know, each tax situation is unique. So don't just do that just because I said it on the radio.
Right.
You talk to an accountant or an attorney.
So if anybody does have questions about the IRAs or just taxes, how do we get in touch?
Yeah, give us a call at Holder & Associates, 398-4013. We're located here in Champaign.
Chaz Holder, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Jim.